And on today's program, it's another slightly emergency broadcast, although we telegraphed this one a long time ago, pretty much when it was announced they were making it. This is Kindergarten Cop 2. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zeta.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in to our little program as always. Now, yes, indeed, this week we're talking the totally unnecessary Kindergarten Cop 2, directed by a guy with three first names. He's called Don Michael Paul. Sounds like a shitty folk band from the 60s.
Really?
Or like... Oh, did you hear the new Don Michael and Paul? No, because it sucked.
That, or he's like a Miami swinger in the 70s.
How you doing, Don Michael Paul?
Hey, baby, you can pick which one you call me.
Or he's like a distant cousin to Aaron Paul. He's like, hey, dude, you know, I know you're producing that Path show, but I could direct an episode if you wanted.
Well, if you yeah, could, that's okay.
Could you PayPal me $300?
Hey, cousin Paul, will you be my PayPal? I'm hitting some hard times. I got stiffed on the bill for Kindergarten Cop 2.
It's like pen pals, but you send me money. Let me know what's going on and send me money.
Are you
going
to send me money back at some point?
Yeah. As soon as I get paid from Kindergarten Cop 2.
Oh, you know how movies are. It takes a while to get paid.
So, for anyone who's unaware, this is the newly direct-to-DVD, I mean, it is an unofficial sequel to the 1990 Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, Kindergarten Cop. What?
It's not official? This is an official sequel, right?
This is an in-name only sequel.
Right, okay.
Jingle All the Way 2 and The Net 2.0.
Yes. Imagine Entertainment had their finger in this movie, which was kind of surprising.
That's a Grazer move. I don't smell any Ron Howard on this. This is a Brian Grazer 4 a.m., high as a kite, like, yeah, this will be funny. Watch me waste Ron Howard's money. I'll forge his signature on this on the green light form for Kindergarten Cop 2.
Oh no, and then Bryce Dallas Howard has to PayPal him money. I really took a bath on this Kindergarten 2. I gave Grazer my PayPal account.
His PayPal's with everyone.
I use PayPal for buying stuff on eBay. He financed a shitty movie with it.
Oh, and if you like We Hate Movies, you could donate to our PayPal.
There's
a link on whmpodcast.com.
Very good. So it's a sequel in name only to the Arnold film Kindergarten Cop. No mention of Arnold in this. Like, it needs
to be a thing where it's like,
hey, listen, Dolph Lundgren, I've got an idea. It's a thing I heard about from my old partner. Yeah. It's a wild idea they did 16 years ago. Let's send you undercover to this kindergarten class.
Or maybe it's just him, like he's Skyping, have fun. I'm passing the franchise to you now.
That should be a thing. Anytime you like take over an Arnold Schwarzenegger franchise, he has a have fun cameo.
The thing is, he's a busy man and he wouldn't do it. Now, what they could have done.
Wow, so definitive.
Yeah, he's got stuff going on.
Well, he is new host of Celebrity Apprentice, by the way. You see that shit?
I will be seeing
He's going to say you're terminated,
yeah,
right?
They have not announced
it yet. He's going to say you are terminated.
That's amazing.
You are. No, here's what would be great, though, if they totally flipped that expectation. It was like, you are receiving a pink slip.
I am terminated?
No, that's what he's going to say when that's inevitably canceled.
No, but I think Dolph Lundgren in this should at least be like looking at a framed photo of his character.
Nice.
You know, and like thinking back.
But why? Are they former partners? Are they maybe related?
Oh, shit.
He goes,
oh, I got to enact a plan that was first done by my dead brother-in-law.
That could work.
Yeah.
If Arnold married his sister.
Sure. I know they shouldn't, but they could play brothers.
Oh yeah!
How have they not? The Expendables did it too. The Lundgren and what's his face team up, right? Lundgren and Schwarzenegger?
They're both in the movie, but yeah. I don't think they share.
The first movie, Dolph Lundgren's like kind of a traitor, but then like he gets back on their good side for the other two movies.
Right, yeah.
All right, so I guess it's enough.
They just forgive him for treachery.
In
which people die.
Dude, in any other vigilante team, he would have been, like, Gunner would have been executed.
Exactly.
They would have eaten him.
Idea for a Lundgren Schwarzenegger team up movie.
Oh.
Real twins.
Oh.
they're actually, like, it is like a, sorry, Danny, I need someone that's just conceivably my twin.
The movie is called Real Twins. Yes, this was strategically written to cut you out.
And the Eddie Murphy thing just wasn't ever going to happen.
Is that dead?
Can that please
be dead?
Yeah, I would like that to happen.
Oh, mercy me. So both Steve and I thought, well, Steve first posited on online messaging.
Yep. Here we go. Get your heads in the gutter, everyone.
Well, and then I watched it and I totally agreed. You start this movie. The first like 3 or 4 minutes, I was like, is this a porno? Like, a dick could be getting, you know, whipped out at any second.
Wait, we open.
Tell me why.
We open on the top motel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do with that what you will, America.
Okay, go on.
The top motel.
Yeah. And just yeah. And it's a seedy motel. Some lady who looks like she may have been in an adult film before is packing a bag. And
there's like bass fucking music going on.
You guys see porno.
It's all softly lit.
Yeah, I thought we were watching Frank Miller's Sin Cities.
It's not in black and white though, Eric. That's how you class that shit up.
Yeah, that's in rich, cheap digital color.
As opposed to rich, cheap black and white.
Is that second movie cheap?
It's a piece of shit.
I did not see it yet.
Yeah, you should never see it.
Yeah, take the yet out of that sentence. I did.
I'll check it out.
Still so
curious.
Her name is Kristen or Katya or something.
Oh, Katya, it's Katya. He said it through the whole movie. Katya. And, Katya. Yo, Katya.
Sorry.
And she is dating the Hulk version of Dominic Cooper, I guess, is the idea.
Yeah, this dude's like some Albanian mafioso or some such business.
Ooh, hold on.
What was his name? His name is like Sugo?
Like Zugot or something
Seesaw?
Like that? It might be Seesaw. It's this man's name.
So in the Wikipedia article for Kindergarten Cop 1, which I read, I'm just going to read you. This will give you an idea of what this movie's about.
Sure.
In June 2015, Showbiz 411 announced that the studio's 1440 division is developing a sequel to the film with Don Michael Paul as director and David H. Steinberg as screenwriter. The protagonist will have an Indian sidekick named Sanjit, and they will be searching for a flash drive that was stolen from the United States Federal Witness Protection Program. The last sentence is my favorite. The antagonists will be Albanian.
Man, so the only thing that changed was Sanjit is turned into Bill Bellamy, but everything else is accurate, so they definitively were like, these fucking Albanians are trying to steal this flash drive.
I feel like this is, you know, they're riding the Taken coattails a little bit. Right?
Oh, big time. Yeah, like where Albanians are just Albanians e villain.
We're kind of Albanian crazy these days, I guess, with the villains.
Well, the problem is because you can't be doing like a Middle Eastern thing because that's been ruined by terrorism.
Right, so
by modern terrorism.
So let's go after white Muslims.
yeah, totally. I mean, that's what you're dealing with.
Kind of, right?
How can we still do it? Yeah. And so, yeah, Zugat or whatever this dude's name is a hunk, like a hulking Dominic Cooper. That's accurate.
This guy looks terrible.
He's like on the bad end of juicing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he's probably like trying to come off it maybe.
I didn't look this guy up. Is he a WWE guy or no?
Oh, I did not look him up.
Yeah, no. I don't know. He doesn't look like one. That's the thing. He looks too bad to be in the WWE.
Yeah, that's true. He looks like he could have held a belt at one point though.
I mean, intercontinental or lower.
So this movie starts with domestic violence, which is what you want.
Well, because Katya.
Yeah, he comes in. He's like, oh, you betrayed me, Katya. She's like, you got to get me out of here. And he's like, I'll protect you, Katya. I swear to God, I'm Dolph Lundgren.
Right, and that, well, because that's what we don't really know what's happening here, because she's packing this bag and like the fuck tunes are playing, and then like Dolph comes out, and I was like, oh. Like, for a second, you kind of forget you're watching a movie called Kindergarten Cop 2. Like, a fucking wiener's going to be out at any moment, you know? And then, yeah, so then, like, these dudes break down the door, and, oh, man, you realize the level of comedy in this movie, because he's like, you know, any last words or something, and Dolph's like, yeah, I got one. Pineapple. And he's like, but then, like, it's like this dude who's ready to murder this person is like, all right, I'll stop and ask you what you mean by pineapple instead of just shooting you through the teeth.
It's delicious, juicy fruit.
And so we're back and forth about pineapple, and you know immediately that it's just the code to get the fucking team to come in.
Which they do, which is incredibly cheap. It's like three dudes and and Bill Bellamy, Mr. Box Office himself. Anyone aware of Mr. Box Office?
Oh, no, I never watched it.
I think I saw one or two episodes. That is something. I did not see the Busey episode.
Oh, yeah, he was on that show, too. Mr. Box Office was a direct-to-DVD. It's kind of a direct-to-DVD TV show.
A syndicated TV show.
I thought it was a web series.
Might as well.
Well, that's like that Dave Coulier can't get arrested web show with him and... whoever played Stephanie Tanner on Full and Fuller House, Jodie Sweetin.
Yeah.
And it's them like, oh, our lives are terrible because we're washed up celebrities.
That's one out of three web series.
That's true. That the Brent Spiner one's like that, whatever that fucking horror show was.
Well, the twist at the end was that it all took place on the holodeck. So.
Dude, I think Patrick Stewart was the only TNG cast member to not guest spot on it. LeVar Burton was certainly all over it.
Mr. Data, you want to see what the glamorous life of a Hollywood actor really is?
Oh, it doesn't always end up well, Mr. Data. My character, Patrick Stewart, will be caught in traffic and won't be able to make your web series. He'll apologize and send you a fruit basket.
I'm just trying to know this dude.
Pineapple.
Pineapple. The guy who, by the way, his name is Zogu.
Zogu.
This villain, the actor's name is Alex Ponovic. He was apparently a Canadian boxer.
Okay.
So close to professional wrestling.
There you go.
Not outside the realm of fighting for money.
No, it's firmly within it, I think.
So he gets arrested. Katya slaps Lundgren in the face after she gets slapped in the face by Zogu.
Well, slap for a slap.
Well, that slap is because now she knows that he's FBI. And we're not talking female body inspector.
Hey, cool!
It is, turns out he's working for the feds. And, you know,
he's been, like, undercover the whole time.
And it's very much alluded to that he was stupping her.
Oh, big time stupping. They're, like, in love.
His Beaver Patrol membership is still not entirely... we don't know one way or another.
Wait, now,
Bill Bellamy would be very enthusiastic about starting a Beaver Patrol in this movie.
And I think the two of them together, I think that could make a patrol. I don't know if you need a third guy. When
well,
you
Dolph Lundgren's
Bellamy
like three guys in one.
It's very true.
He's so jacked still, but it's not like artificial Stallone jacked. Mm. He's still just in great shape.
But he's also really old.
Well, that's the thing. My wife, we're watching it, and my wife goes, he looks like Harvey Dent post-acid.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, like, I think there's some bad Botox going on there.
Oh,
yikes. They should have just done Grandpa Cop.
Grandpa Cop.
That's right? Nails Grandpa.
I guess so, but that doesn't have the same ring to it as Kindergarten Cop 2.
Yeah, we got bad grandpa. We got dirty grandpa. Yeah.
Right.
How so about grandpa cop grandpa?
That's true. We got like different cop things too. We got that wolf cop movie that's unwatchable.
That is unwatchable.
Dude, I turned that off and then like 4 days later it was like, isn't everybody excited for Wolf Cop 2? I was like, my God in heaven. No.
Yeah.
Wasn't even excited for the first 15 minutes of Wolf Cop 1.
Quick question. Would you see a movie called Beaver Patrol?
Yes. Wait. No, have I already? This is a trick question.
Starring Dolph Lundgren, Bill Bellamy, and Ricky Jay. Ricky Jay.
Absolutely.
Rounding out the Beaver Patrol.
And for people who don't know, for normal people, Ricky Jay is a
sarcastic magician.
Yes, and sometimes
about 3.5 feet tall. Oh, man, Ricky Jay and Dolph Lundgren and twins, too.
Oh, my God. We were born 27 years apart.
And I do magic.
You know what I've come to realize, man? You watch a documentary about magicians at any level, Ricky Jay's getting interviewed.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make your profits disappear.
Ricky Jay will do your magic documentary.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd totally watch that movie, though.
Of course.
We cut to a year later for some reason.
For no reason, I think.
Okay. Yeah, only so that we see Dolph Lundgren's house. He lives on a swamp for some reason.
Isn't it like a trailer?
It's a trailer, like on a bay, though, like a nice, like Pacific Northwest, like body of water. Dude, I was jealous of this pad he's got.
They're trying to give you a little bit of like a Martin Riggs vibe.
Oh, for sure. A trailer on a body of water.
Non-suicidal Martin Riggs.
Right. And for our younger listeners, such as a 13-year-old that listens to the show,
yep.
I was a reference to Lethal Weapon.
Oh, the TV show that's coming out?
Oh, God,
wait,
that's
what?
Right. Yeah, dude.
What?
We were just talking about the upfronts, but that was one I forgot
Lethal
to tell
Weapon
you upfront.
TV show? Oh, it's a good thing I'm sitting down. Tell me everything.
That's it.
Yeah,
there's Lethal Weapon TV show.
I don't think anyone's in it. I mean, I'm sure people are. There's
I'm
bodies
sure there's
on it.
Human beings.
There's a bunch of like skin sacks saying lines. What? Dude, there's that. Wow. There's a Training Day TV show.
Wow.
That's the big thing now. We're making movies into TV shows.
Wait, so TV is becoming like Broadway?
Yeah, yep, pretty much.
Everything's just a movie?
Network television is the new Broadway.
Yeah, well, it worked for Fargo.
Oh, man, so anyway, Kindergarten Cop 2, a year later, his pad. I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's pretty okay. It looks a little too wet for my taste.
It's a little wet. I mean, listen, he's got a record player outside.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He's grilling steaks and flipping over records within like 5 feet of each other. Pretty cool.
So if your life falls apart, this setup is an option for you.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, nice little trailer by some water.
It's the Pacific Northwest, though. It's clean.
Yeah, but yours wouldn't be.
Yeah, I couldn't afford the clean water property.
No, it's L.A., isn't it?
It's Seattle.
Oh, it's Seattle. Wow, I missed that one. Well,
Here's the thing, Steve.
They're saying Seattle throughout the whole movie. That's step one. That's definitely happening.
Kindergarten Cop 1
was
firmly established in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, that's true. In Astoria.
Astoria. How many of you are from Astoria?
Oh, right.
Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you were extras in the Goonies? How many Goonies are in the class?
Probably quite a few.
Hey, you're probably a Goonie, you fat kid eating everyone's lunch.
Oh, hey, look at you do the truffle shuffle, you fat piggy.
Oh, no, you're a gooby. You're too fat for Goonie.
Oink, oink, because you have a B-sized booby cup, you fat little piggy kid.
Yeah, we should talk about the movie, maybe.
Yeah, we'll get there. Was anyone else terrified of Arnold Schwarzenegger's fitness test day in school?
What?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's fitness test
right,
day.
Right. Well, there was like a thing that happened. You had to do like.
Did he come around to your school? Test everyone?
We had the presidential fitness test.
Yeah, but like Arnold Schwarzenegger was like behind it or like had like.
I'm behind
endorsed
the president.
It.
Oh. Hello, George. I'm going to pump.
There was like a pump you up joke involved as
was
well.
I have no memory of that. No. I remember doing terrible at the presidential fitness test, though.
I don't think I even had that. I just think I think it was a guy chasing me with a stick.
Run, fat boy. This bear's coming after you.
Yeah. You guys got fancy talk down in the regular places.
I grew up north of you.
Yeah, but near a bigger city.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to, he's working for the FBI. He's not working for the police department.
Right.
And they've arrested, it's a year later, and like Bill Bellamy, who's his partner, is like, oh, hey, you had a date last night. He's like, I didn't have a date. People don't date anymore. They just fuck each other. And it's like, what?
Which is, it's so unbelievable that Dolph Lundgren has a problem with this. Like, no,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he's like, in this movie, he's playing like just an old fashioned guy. You know what I mean?
He's 61 years old.
Yeah, I guess he is literally old fashioned.
Like, his wives keep dying? Like, what is going on?
I don't think they
don't exist. Yeah.
Infer that he's ever been married.
Which is like, but it's like, come on. He's this old and he's like,
well, Bill
Bellamy, dating.
He says something about like, you know, oh, you sent another one away or whatever. Like, you just go through them. Because Bill Bellamy's whole thing in this movie is to be like a cuckolded, miserable dude that has five kids. Count them, five fucking children.
That we never see because this movie's incredibly cheap. How is there not one scene with his wife and his kids? And
seriously.
It's like him, you know, it's get the whole cast of Mr. Box Office back together. Who cares?
Listen, though, if I see a buddy cop movie and it's like, we're going to meet this dude's family, even if it's Kindergarten Cop 2, I'm like, oh, man, now I got to worry about Bill Bellamy getting murdered in this.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, here's my perfect family. Look at my beautiful, gentle wife.
Martin Lawrence always made it out of those movies, those bad boy movies.
Which is unfortunate. That's why those movies are annoying.
So, Dolph Lundgren stops the action of the movie. He's like, hold on, I gotta get a Twix.
Man.
And everyone's like, what?
Oh, it's a Twix. It's really good. We're gonna stop and talk about Twix right now. Did you know that the right Twix is made in a different factory from the left Twix? And then they put them together later?
Yeah, they're assembled in China. That's where Twixes are put together.
Brian Grazer had a nice meeting with the Mars Corporation, and Kindergarten Cop 2 was born.
And this is what's amazing, is the shot of this vending machine, you see like a Snickers, and Snickers is the superior candy bar.
I don't know about
that. As far as public awareness.
Sure.
As far as product placement,
yeah.
Whatever, you're getting a Snickers on there. And I'm like, oh, great, fucking Snickers in this movie, man. No. Twix in this movie, all over the place. Honestly, nice change of pace. And it worked. By the time it hit credits, man, I wanted a Twix real bad. Real fucking bad, man. And then, so we're introduced to the most ridiculous part of this movie.
I wanted to teach kindergarten at the end of this.
Lundgren, like, you know, it's the old gag of, like, I can't get the candy bar to come out of the machine. He pulls a gun on this vending machine, and you're like, oh, he's kind of, like, unhinged. Maybe he kind of is more like Riggs than I thought originally.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, I mean,
this is a lunatic.
This is kind of a tricks rabbit kind of a move. Like, where you're like, dude, just go buy it. Like, you don't have to set it.
I got to set a trap for a Twix bar.
Just put in more money, and then two Twix bars are going to come out.
You're okay.
You're going to eat the other Twix bar at some point.
Or you're fucking 8 feet tall. Shake the fucking machine.
No, I got to threaten it first.
So he's like drawing a gun on a vending machine, like if Homer Simpson was a cop. And then so like introduce the most like biggest misfire of this movie is a guy who's doing like the angry chief character. Oof. And like they're trying to play this, God bless him, as hard as they can for laughs, this guy. And he's like screaming at Dolph Lundgren the whole time, like, were you pulling a gun on this vending machine? And you think like, well, yeah, this is like obviously an extreme circumstance. Of course he's going to scream at him. No, the joke is this guy's screaming through the whole movie.
Did they ask Bill Nunn to do this or no?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I would love to see Bill Nunn in a movie.
He's an actor. That's great.
It's a thing he's got a leg up on this guy with.
Oh, we don't have money for those.
Yeah, we don't have Bill Nunn money.
Oh, man. That is not okay.
Did they get Bill Nunn back for Sister Act 2?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because he's one of the cops in Sister Act, isn't
he? Are you talking about Back in the Habit?
Yes, yeah, Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. Yes, I am.
Okay. No, I don't know.
Oh, all right. But yeah, you're totally right. You know what? You got to get somebody. Because the thing about this movie is you got Dolph.
Yeah.
He's obviously the star. You got Bill Bellamy's a name, but he's in, like, not a lot of scenes.
And you'd think they'd cast him as, like, comic relief of some
kind.
Yeah. He doesn't really have much funny shit. Although he says, like, to Dolph Lundgren that, like, what was it? He needs to get a mattress? Oh, a yeah. Model actress? Yes. Or is that
that's
what he's dating?
Always good. That's what he does.
You always go after those mattresses. He's like, what's a mattress? And when Dolph Lundgren says, like, do you not know what a mattress is?
I thought Bill Bellamy said mattress.
But why is this even clever to combine model and actress to be a mattress?
Oh, it's not that clever is the problem.
Yeah, Bill. I rip through mattresses like toilet paper. Well, make a left up here.
I think Bill Bellamy's line is something like, you're always sleeping with all those mattresses. And I thought he said mattress, and I was like,
yeah.
I sleep with a mattress every night, you fucking moron. I have for my whole life.
I thought they were getting at, like he's like, ever since Katya, I've just been humping a mattress at night.
Just fucking these couch cushions.
Her name is Sheila.
She's filled with straw.
Yeah, and stuff.
Oh, definitely stuff. So then the FBI gets laid waste to. They're interviewing a witness, and like they find out that like basically he's taught. Apparently, Zugo has been like putting off his trial with all his fucking cheap lawyer moves.
Oh, God.
Yep. I hate the justice system.
And he's basically doing that. And in the interim, they're like, we need more evidence because this guy's lawyer is actually good. And they're
pissed that this guy has like decent legal representation. It's not insinuated that like there's any crooked dealings going on. No, it's just like, this guy's got a really good fucking lawyer. God damn it.
Well, that's SVU all over. It's, oh, he's going to lawyer up. This guy's going to go get fucking legal representation as opposed to get shot in the head. What an asshole.
Yeah, so they're bummed that this man called someone using a phone number.
So, but yeah, apparently his brother, this guy that they're interviewing, his brother, he gave his brother a flash drive
right.
with the list of people on the witness protection list. It's like the knock list for witness protection, I guess, is the idea.
Yeah, it's like who these people were and where they are now, what their current information is. New social security numbers, the whole thing.
Because Katya is there, and Katya is the lead witness, and if he kills Katya, he doesn't have to go to jail.
And keep in mind, by the way, we keep talking about Katya
through
this whole movie.
Yeah, she's the one that got away.
Well, no, because you're like, right, at the beginning, during that porno motel raid... There's like it's insinuated like because she slaps him and she's like, you didn't tell me you were FBI, blah, blah, blah. And he definitely like there's a moment where it's like, oh, he actually loved her. Like,
come on, Katya. Wait, don't walk away, Katya.
Shit, Katya. Katya.
Well, Katya didn't want to finish my podcast.
But yeah, so
I could be on Leno Dolph.
Come on, Dolph. I can be in Kindergarten Cop too. I can do what Bill Bellamy does, Dolph.
Oh no, fucking Gallagher as the either the lead bad guy. Actually, no, Gallagher as the villain in Kindergarten Cop 2. You're like, what's this movie about?
Yeah, totally. Is he kidnapping kids?
I thought he's gonna play Katya. Right?
Come on, Dolph. Let's make love.
Oh, come on, Katya.
Yeah, he leaves in the middle of the movie.
What are you doing here?
I'm Gallagher. I'm here to read for the role of Katya. Come on, you son of a bitch. Read your goddamn call sheet. It's time for Gallagher to audition to play Katya.
Now, this watermelon represents my boyfriend, Zugo, and the Albanian mafia. And now this sledgehammer represents Dolph Lundgren, kersplat. It's like, oh, that's your audition, huh, Gallagher? You know it is.
Better movie.
Yeah.
See you on set, you son of a bitch.
Like, no. How many callbacks has Gallagher's ever gotten?
For Katya? Or just...
Just in general.
Three. Over 40 years.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be in Kiss the Girls. It's Tony Goldwyn's part.
I'm a collector. Look at all these watermelons.
This watermelon represents Morgan Freeman's attempt to get me. And this sledgehammer is my ingenuity in outfoiling him every step of the way. Curse splat. See you on the set, Morgan Freeman.
This watermelon over here represents Air Force One. And this sledgehammer represents my terrorist ingenuity to take it over. See you on set next week, Harrison Ford, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's got no callbacks.
No, just not so many callbacks.
I think that's how every audition goes is the problem.
Yeah, he needs to switch it up.
He's really bringing watermelons into the audition. He's actually doing that. Who's going to clean this up?
I'm also here to audition for the role of janitor. I'll be cleaning up my own watermelons. Times are tough for Gallagher.
You know what? I'm just telling you, Ron Howard, you're going to want to wear a plastic jacket. You'll see. You're in the splash zone now.
Listen, Ron, you don't need Tom Hanks to come back for Inferno. Gallagher's got it covered. I can play Robert Langdon, goddammit. This watermelon represents the Bible. And this sledgehammer represents a mystery I'm going to crack open in the Bible.
Well, what do you mean you don't have a plastic jacket? I got like 30 of them.
All right, David Lynch, sit down. Now, this watermelon represents Naomi Watts' sense of identity. And this sledgehammer is my sexuality. Slam. See you on the set of Mulholland Drive.
Now, this watermelon represents John Merrick. And this sledgehammer is Elephantitis.
Wait, he's going to play Elephantitis?
He's going to play the elephant.
Oh,
man.
I gotcha.
I don't know. Oh. Or whatever disease he had, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It was something tragic.
It was tragic. It was Where is terrible. This movie going? Oh, so then he basically he gives his brother this list. His brother's a kindergarten teacher, and just as he relays this information, the FBI goes under siege, which would be national news. Like, anyone, how do you raid the FBI?
It's outrageous. I mean, it's a real assault on our system as a whole.
This is like Bane, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren, going to get that flash drive. Stupendous.
Oh, man, Bane is Kindergarten Cop? That's a movie.
Ooh.
Oh, he peed on me.
Speak of the urine, and it appears.
Oh, whatever. So, Dolph Lundgren, there's an action sequence, which isn't terrible. I do kind of like that the action in this movie is reminiscent to, like, the late 80s, early 90s.
The action in this movie is pretty good. I'll tell you what the beef is, though. And for all you guys making, like, mid to low-level action movies out there, you gotta figure out something with your budgets. Because CGI gun flares are terrible. Mm-hmm. They don't look good. They look like total trash. I'm looking at you, all of those Expendables movies.
Yeah.
Like, and it's even worse in this scene because, like, the FBI, like, the building, like, their office building has the power cut, so everybody's in the dark.
There's a red alert. It goes, burp, burp.
I was waiting for Worf to come in. I was like, shit, if we ever needed hashtag we want Worf.
I would love hashtag we want Worf to infect this film.
Oh, sure. Just have all the kids wearing that T-shirt.
Maybe the Klingon Empire wants that flash drive for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Maybe there's like some guy that like is in witness protection that was from the Klingon Empire.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, went deep into the Fed space.
Oh, he's trying to sell the schematics for the Klingon Warbird cloaking device.
Oh my
dude.
God, could you imagine that in the hands of the Federation?
Oh yeah, or Albanian mafia? Either or, pretty nasty stuff. But with these gun flares, man.
Picturing like a shitty old Cadillac that cloaks. I mean, it's sort of nice. It's like, it's like 5 to 10 years old.
Sure.
These gun flares, though, like in the darkness, like it's just yellow animation on screen. It looks so bad.
No, it's just, it's like Double Dare. I don't know. Not Double. But whatever. It's not good. The vending machine comes back here, though.
Thank
Dolph
God.
Dolph Lundgren uses this as a shield. Thankfully, no Doritos were harmed in the making of this film. We do get a nice shot of a Dorito bag. Talking about getting hungry.
But what I did very much appreciate is I'm like, oh, am I going to see this vending machine get shot?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I finally do.
Yep.
It's Thank also God. Not bulletproof, by the way, right? Like, if I shot a vending machine, Eric, and you were behind it, you'd be dead.
Yeah, I would be so dead. But, yeah. But I'd have a little bit of Dorita dust in me.
Oh, man.
So
maybe
I'd
the
die
Dorita,
happy.
Well, maybe the Dorita dust would cauterize the wound is the
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Get some Cool Ranch in there.
Ooh, that Cool Ranch, it stings.
Yeah, but it'll keep you alive till they can get you to the hospital.
Just an FYI, just in case, I'm not going to make a will for a long time, but if I die before I make a will,
yeah.
This is a legal document that I'd like to be buried in a large Doritos bag, like a Dorito taco.
That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. We'll get Sinbad on the line, get a large chips bag, see where he gets his made.
There's no need to plan your funeral just yet. I'll stop the bleeding by shoving this delicious Twix inside your gunshot wound.
It's a sacrifice for me to lose such a delicious Twix stick, but I'm going to do it for you, partner.
I'm shove it in as hard as I can. I'm going to break off a piece just to eat.
Because he does take the Twix. At the end of the scene, like, you know, he beats all the guys and, like, the machine opens up. He's like, I got my Twix.
And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. It's stupid, but it's not bad.
It's the end of that sequence, and then it should be the end of Twix in this film.
That's, well, you're right there.
Because you set it up, and then
Twix leaves the movie.
I'm surprised it's not, like, and starring Dolph Lundgren, Bill Bellamy, and Twix as himself. I guess that would be as themselves.
So, flash forward a little bit. Flash forward. I can flash forward, Mark.
I can travel through Klingon space. Oh, dude, Gallagher is Q, maybe.
Ooh, that's cool.
All right, so listen. This watermelon represents the Starship Enterprise. And this sledgehammer represents my omnipotent, godlike ability to mess with Jean-Luc Picard. Splat! I can play Q.
Come on, Rick Berman.
Where you going?
Oh, whatever.
Dolph Lundgren.
They bring in all the... So basically, this guy was a kindergarten teacher. The flash drive is somewhere there. They, for some reason, don't interview any teachers. They don't actually get a warrant for
it.
They're the FBI. They can do whatever they want, ladies and gentlemen.
They have before. They will again.
And here's the thing. Kindergartens close at night.
Yep.
The FBI could just toss the whole place and put it back together later on.
Yeah, like, pretty
it's
much.
This movie shouldn't happen.
So you're saying the conceit of this film is a little flimsy?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. You know? Maybe more than most we do.
The weird thing that doesn't, like, it's kind of glossed over, and I don't know if they were like, shit, we got to cut this for time or what the deal is, but the guy that they have in custody that they're like, where's this flash drive, is the brother of the kindergarten teacher.
Yes. Right.
The kindergarten teacher is murdered by the mafia.
Yeah. Yeah. Brutal,
in like a car murdered. Accident situation that you don't see. And it's like alluded to.
Oh, because it was cloaked.
It's alluded to like way later in the movie. Like, oh, yeah, now I just heard they killed his brother. And I'm like, wait, what? And it's like Lundgren is already like applying to be this teacher.
But also, why are the children informed about their teacher's brutal murder? All the kids are like, oh, yeah, he got murdered.
Some of them, though, are like, when's he coming back? Which is kind of sad.
That one girl's like, he's decomposing.
Yeah, girl, she gets pretty real.
The first line of any kid in this movie obviously has to be, my sister has a vagina. Which, if you're just joining us, is a somewhat of a catchphrase from the first film. Well, I mean, it's boys have penises, girls have vaginas.
Right.
You need a little boy to say the word vagina on screen. I don't care. I don't care how many Twix bars are in this movie. A little boy has to say the word vagina, and it's going to be fucking adorable. It's going to be hilarious.
And you get this kid who looks like Froggy from The Little Rascals. Yeah. This little nerd. He looks like a tiny 6-year-old version of...
Jonathan Lipnicki?
No, I was going to say John Hodgman. Does he look like a little 6-year-old John Hodgman?
Yeah, maybe the glasses are
put an ironic mustache on this little kid.
Oh, that would be the, like if they ever made like a Saturday Night Live-esque movie of John Hodgman, like that would be John Hodgman in school.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
You're exactly right.
Yeah. It's always funny when a little baby plays an adult comedian.
Speaking
keep
of
doing it comedies, please, I love seeing adults as babies.
Speaking of Sinbad, man, the first few minutes of House Guest, Sinbad has a little kid.
And it's just somebody doing the little kid doing their routine. It's so funny. It's so funny. And so, well, I don't know, whatever happens. So basically, they're interviewing all the kids. We have one little nerd kid, the girl who's very morose about the death of the teacher.
Right.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
And Bill Bellamy's the only one interviewing them for some reason, like Lundgren's behind the glass.
Well, because Bill Bellamy is like, you can't talk to kids. Like, I have 5 kids. If we're going to do this harebrained interrogation montage, I guess I should be the one to talk to these kids.
One kid's named Cowboy, and then another kid, his name is Trip, is an Asian kid.
Yeah. And this
I only say he's Asian because it doesn't mean anything. Except for some reason, they give him subtitles?
It's ridiculous. Like, here's this kid who you can hear totally fine.
Yep.
And he's just got subtitles after everything he says. Get it? Hey, do you get it?
Ew.
Are you laughing yet at kindergarten cop jokes? Oh, man. It's so weird.
It's weird because, like, every other kid, all these kids are mumbling because little kids mumble. That's what they do. They're all like,
they're like little 6-year-olds. They got like 12 teeth. The fuck do you want?
Between the all of them.
Between the whole class, there's 12 teeth.
How many teeth do you have? Bring your teeth up to my desk.
So it's decided that the investigation goes nowhere, and it's decided for some reason, again, as opposed, by the way, they don't tell the teeth. So it's decided that, and this is my favorite part of the movie, is Dolph Lundgren's going to pose as a kindergarten teacher, and you get the really bad actor playing the chief does a really shitty double take.
Oh, does he? I didn't notice
it. It's like a what?
It could have like, it was so bad it could have had a sound effect. Woo woo woo.
I would love a smash cut of all the horrible double takes in cinema.
You know what? Someone get on that. I expect it on YouTube by the end of the year.
I bet you there is one.
There probably already is. Right?
You got to update it.
And add this to the mix.
Get this guy on there. I can do a double take, Mark.
So whatever. And for some reason, they don't tell this. Like, again, if it's so important that he has to go undercover, you pull the school administrator aside and be like, look, this is what's going on. It's going to be fine. But what we understand is this is a very prestigious kindergarten. This is where we're differentiating from the first movie. It's not just some regular schmegler kindergarten.
Yeah, this one costs $50,000 a year, pal.
Well, that's what I couldn't, because I haven't seen Kindergarten Cop in a dog's age. But is the school administration in that movie aware of what Arnold's deal is?
I feel like she is.
I think principal might be.
Yes.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen that, but better movie.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's a real movie.
It is a real movie. It does lag in the end, but...
Yeah, but for starters, it's a real movie.
Yes.
A guy gets bitten with a ferret and then gets shot in the heart. Like, that's okay. Like, you know what? That's a movie that I could watch.
It's not bad.
And, I mean, I guess the first movie is guilty of this, too, but it's... Like, I was watching this, I'm like, who is this for? Because some parts, it's way too adult for kids.
Yeah.
And then some parts, it's way too fucking dumb for adults.
Yeah, it's really weird in that way. I feel like a parent can watch these movies with their kid, but, like, for certain scenes, they just have to send the kid out of the room for a minute.
Well, there's way too much, like, implied TNA, which is... Because it's not...
Implied?
There's no, like, actual...
There's clothes?
There's no nudity.
But there's so many women in pools throughout this entire... Like, they keep going back to Zugo's house, and, like, there's just ladies, like,
Zugo
long
likes
shots on these ladies.
It's true to life. Zugo likes pools.
But it's like, I don't need... in my kindergarten cop sequel, cutting back to this dude's orgy pad. And that's what's going on. I mean, honestly, the only thing they're missing is
we
like.
We better check in on Zugo.
Right.
It's been a little while.
Because it's like babes. It's definitely like two ladies like swimming up, like, hey, let's play around kind of shit. And I'm like, okay.
I imagine I have kids here, probably.
But then, the only difference is instead of like Zugo doing cocaine on the patio.
Yeah.
Zugo's like stuffing a fish with lemons.
Is that a euphemism?
Maybe. I don't know. Is that a euphemism for doing coke? I'm going to go in the bathroom and stuff a fish with lemons?
No, maybe for something else.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
I could do euphemisms, Mark.
I could stuff a fish with lemons.
I just did it in the car on the way over here.
So I must have blinked and missed it, but he's cooking fish in this.
He's like, it's... He's like threatening some lackey or whatever, yeah. And he's like putting lemons in a fish, and then he does the old move of like the butcher knife down to cut the fish's head off, and he's like, put this on the grill or whatever.
It would have been better if it was a sledgehammer.
Gotta pound out this expensive fish before I put it on the grill.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid son of a bitch fish. I caught it myself.
Oh, Gallagher pounding out, man. Yeah.
So Dolph Lundgren, the first day, Bill Bellamy's at Dolph Lundgren's house for some reason. It's like, hey, man, I have kids. I got all these kids. Oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. I love kids. I'm great with kids. Why don't you wear this wire and I'll tell you what to say.
Right.
And like, I'll guide you through the experience. Like, no, I could do this. I'm not afraid of kids. I can do whatever I want.
I ain't afraid of nothing.
Kids are just stupid little adults. It's all right. I'm the best.
And he goes there, and it's a snooty prep school, and you realize very early on that liberalism has gone mad, you guys.
It just wild.
Run amok. What is with these libtards and their PC culture?
Shit's gone crazy in Seattle, man.
It is. Yeah, it's bonkers.
So, I mean, it's that heightened thing of like, you know, it's a school that doesn't give letter marks. They probably grade with feelings.
But
and
to
like,
be fair, it's kindergarten.
Well,
if you
also
don't
it's
shit
kindergarten.
Your pants, you win the day.
Yeah, I guess it's because it's not like real school. It's kindergarten. You're right. If you can stay awake the whole time, that's also fantastic.
But there's this idea of like, oh, they're teaching these kids all this just nonsense. You know,
right?
Like,
that's going on. We've got a gag about like this little girl's like, will you please heat up my tofu?
Yeah.
You know, this one kid's like, I'm gluten free. That one I agree with. The gluten-free thing has become madness in this world.
It's crazy.
We all don't have fucking celiac disease, everybody.
We don't?
That's somebody the does. Thing.
Which is, that's one
I
thing.
Could have celiac disease, Mark.
There's no gluten in a fucking watermelon!
So, but that's the thing. Like, whatever to that.
Right.
But that's fine. But. A peanut allergy is a real fucking thing.
Oh, sure.
And in a school, it's a real, like, we've stopped doing that. No one can have peanuts, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, there's too many dead kids on our hands.
Too many dead kids. Dolph Lundgren's eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and there's this gag of like, oh my God, he's got a peanut. And everyone goes crazy.
Well, it's like someone was like, grenade! I mean, like, it's exaggerated.
It's a bit exaggerated.
Yeah, well, it's also, you know, it's kids. They go crazy sometimes. Right.
Right. And so this is like where we're really trying to reignite the magic from the first film. Because, like, remember all those great scenes of Arnold with, like, kids hanging off him? Like,
shut up!
Yeah.
Shut up!
Like, that's what we do in this movie, but it's like Dolph, and it's not as entertaining because, like, Arnold always has the great ability. He hasn't made, like, a family-ish movie in a really long time, but, like, he had that ability of, like, he can make the silly faces.
Yep.
It's funny. Dolph is just, like, so goddamn stone-faced. I was like, he's going to break one of their little necks.
Well, he's got, like, three muscles left in his face, so, I mean, that's going to be difficult.
There's that scene where he's reading that the Rainbow Bird book.
Oh, yeah, he's getting furious.
That's when he really starts yelling at these kids that, like, don't believe these liberal lies?
Yeah, that's one of the things he does
says
say.
PC bullshit or something, yeah.
Because it's a story about like a rainbow bird giving its feathers to all these other different birds. He's like, this is liberal PC bullshit.
Oh, right, because that's what it is. It's like he's basically saying like, if you're good at something, don't share it with people. Like, keep it for yourself and make yourself even more
never,
great.
Never apologize for being better than other people.
Right.
Kick them in the throat.
I won't apologize for being better about something if I ever find out what that might be. If I ever accidentally stumble on something I'm better at than other people, yeah, I'm going to keep that to myself.
My favorite part of this movie is it's actually a fine little book. It's a little kid's book. It's probably fake. But, like, it's Dolph Lundgren getting steamed while reading it. And he's like, and then the bird, I can't believe it, the bird gives its red feather to the stork because it doesn't have any red feathers. Don't you do it, you bird. Oh, my God.
He, like, flips these. Oh, hang on a second. Oh, I don't believe this. I don't think... Is the gag, like, he doesn't finish the book? He slams it closed and, like, because he's had enough?
No, he does get through it. He's like, yeah, and then that's because of all... That's everything's wonderful in him. No, listen, you kids. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Great, little like, fucking gaggle of pussies.
We, like, moved on to another book. We're going to read the Berenstain Bears. What... Why's Mama Bear baking a pie for the neighbors?
You don't share food with anybody. I don't care who they are.
Oh, you better not share those green eggs and ham. I swear to God, oh my God, he's going to do it. No, don't do it on a boat. I swear. Get off that boat, bro.
This fucking liberal Yertle the turtle.
Yertle, huh? Sounds Jewish to me.
I mean, it's all in play. You shouldn't use the word liberal in kindergarten, you know, or conservative either. Just keep politics out of the classroom, folks.
You know what? How about let's just let kids be kids? Little 6-year-olds, they're going to eat their lunch, they're going to pee their pants, they're going to have nap time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the things that a fake schooling situation like kindergarten... Well, yeah. I guess you could, like, learn to read in kindergarten.
Yeah, a little bit.
Here and there.
I think you play with trucks.
Right? He gets peed on at this point, right? That's the gag?
Like, which I wanted to say, I think one of us called it. Remember we made the predictions?
Oh, right.
At the end of Highlander 2?
Oh, yeah. I think maybe you did that. Right?
Somebody said something about he's getting peed on, I think.
I said he'd get hit in the nuts twice. That did not happen, although there's great nut trauma later in the film.
Let me tell you, some grade A nut trauma in this movie.
And actually, in this scene we're referring to, this is another scene where the kids go crazy, right? Because
it happens like three times.
He gives them...
milk chocolate.
Like, yeah, like real chocolate cookies.
Well, and that's like, does that have cacao and like whatever? You
which
know, like,
that, I mean, man, those are some dumb kids. But kids that insist on high percentage of cacao versus like some just good old-fashioned delicious milk chocolate. I don't know what you're talking about, little kid. Come on.
Sounds like
eat that goddamn Twix bar. Then you'll know.
Someone's parents are liberal professors. But in this sequence, not only does he get pissed on.
Yeah.
I like this. This is great.
I get pissed on, Mark. Got some tapes at home I can show you, Mark.
There is a kid, and he's got a bucket on his head, and he's peeing into another bucket. He's just like pissing.
Oh,
in the
there's
of the
totally public urination in this scene.
And that was great. That was like pretty punk rock.
I was kind of pissed off, though, no pun intended, that it was into a bucket. That kid should have been peeing into a plant.
Yeah,
get me a potted plant.
Let it soak into the floor.
or that.
Yeah. By the way, the space we're in, by the way, is just totally a public library in Canada that they just turned into a preschool. Like, there's no two ways about it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I mean, they get by with it because it is supposed to be this, like, $50,000 a year private... kindergarten, yep. So it's like, okay, you know, maybe every classroom is this expansive open air whatever. No, this is a children's reading room at a public library.
Yep, don't worry about that.
Very good observation. Yeah, without question.
But so he gets peed on. I think Arnold gets peed on in the first movie, right? It's like, you have to take me to the bathroom or something, and he's like, I don't know how to do it.
No, yeah, it's I think it's classier because he's like, he goes to get the other kindergarten teacher to the first grade teacher in the first movie or whatever it is,
yeah,
to escort the girl to the bathroom to go to the bathroom. It's not like he just got drenched in piss.
But man, I mean, this talk about memories playing with you, though. I had a distinct memory of Arnold, and again, I haven't seen this movie, like we're talking pre-Y2K.
Oh, wow.
Like Arnold holding up a kid, and you see the pee stream like hitting him. Is that not true?
Is that Junior, maybe?
Maybe that happens.
No, is that Danny DeVito, do you think, in Twins? He's holding
I'm
up.
I'm pissing on you. Like a hop from hell.
Why is my twin peeing on me?
Is his pee also my pee? That's the question.
Is our pee the same?
Does not taste like my pee.
Oh, mercy.
We're both doctors for some reason. Let's run some tests on the pee. Oh, wait. Am I in Junior or Twins?
Man, if Junior became like an unofficial sequel to Twins, how cool would that be?
I'm having a baby now. And it's just like an incestuous twin and twin baby.
Oh, yeah. Weird. That's like a David Cronenberg movie. Hey, oh, yeah. Junior, as directed by David Cronenberg, now we got a movie on our hands.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito actually having a baby together, that thing would come out of an egg.
Oh, yeah, without question.
It's hatching, Donnie. It's hatching.
Oh, no. At the end of the movie, Danny DeVito is like, well, Arnold, where are you? And he's just that lady from The Brood.
Oh, God.
Just Arnold.
Look at all my little anger babies that fell off my own body. Yes, this is also confusing.
Oliver Reed, R.I.P.
Whatever.
We should mention also, so there's a second kindergarten teacher who's like the sexy love interest.
Megan Mox, as I like to call this lady. She looks like Megan Fox.
Oh. I was like, well, that's an interesting name. I know she's a Canadian actress.
Is this Fiona Vroom?
I don't know. That is an actress's name.
What
from
is
this
happening
movie.
Right now? No, is this Mad Libs?
No. So this actress, I believe, is Darla Taylor.
Okay, but oh, I think Katya might be Fiona Vroom.
On IMDb, no. Michelle is Fiona Vroom.
Oh, weird.
But then Katya is Rebecca Olson, according to the IMDb Tribune.
That's strange.
Yeah, I don't know who the hell Michelle is. Is she supposed to be the principal?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know, but then there's also a woman playing Miss Sinclair, whose name is Sarah Strange.
Oh, my God.
That's a pretty cool name.
Maybe she's related to Dr. Strange. Hi, I'm an American man named Dr. Strange.
No, Sarah Strange is the principal in this movie. So, yeah, I don't know who this amazingly named Fiona Vroom is. I don't know what the Michelle character is about.
I don't care about chakras and whatever else you Americans, I mean us Americans, like.
I don't know. I think you're prejudging that performance.
No, I mean, it's fine. It's just
it's surprising.
Yeah.
It is that.
Yeah.
So there's this second teacher, this Olivia, I think the character's name is. Yeah. And it's like, oh, hachi machi, look at this coworker of mine. Maybe I should have been a kindergarten teacher. And he's like instantly like, yeah, I'm probably going to ask this girl out.
I know I'm undercover and that's highly irregular and I'm really trying to stop the murder of at least one woman who I was in love with and also also blowing the cover of thousands of innocent witnesses.
Well, that's what's insane is he hasn't learned his lesson from the Katya incident. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm ready to fall in love undercover all over again.
No. Oh no, I'm in too deep.
So he asks her out, and like for some reason, both Bill Bellamy and his boss are like, hey, you gonna fuck that lady? And I'm like, what are we talking about right now?
Because I think he's got this track record that we only sort of hear about.
Okay.
Like from Bill Bellamy's like one throwaway line about like you go through them like toilet paper or whatever it is.
Maybe he was in like In This Universe is Cruising.
Oh, he went like and got too deep. Yeah, it's entirely
exactly,
possible.
Yeah. So he's got like this whole, yeah.
This whole other backstory.
Let me tell you, Bill Bellamy's like, remember you were gay 2 years ago when we were on that?
Yeah, kept running around yelling hips or lips at me?
Yeah, but that was just to kill another gay guy.
Yeah, you know, that movie's problematic at best.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
So he's like, oh no, I'm going to get information out of her and find out where this flash drive is.
This fucking flash drive, man. You know the thing about a MacGuffin? A MacGuffin, which for those of you who don't know, that's a term that Hitchcock coined.
Gather around, everyone. Crisscross applesauce.
It's like, you know, the thing everybody wants in the movie, but it doesn't matter.
Sure.
You know, so the MacGuffin should just be like kind of mentioned here and there. We are talking about this flash drive in every scene of this movie.
Well, he even says in his first day, he's like, all right, I know it's technology day, and now it's flash drive time. And it's like, what are you talking about? He's like,
you ever see a flash drive?
Which, again, to Eric's point, kindergarten is over at 3:15 p.m. Like, this movie is pointless. Like, what? Again, pre-Y2K.
Sure.
What is Arnold's motivation for going undercover? I really don't remember that.
I read the Wikipedia thing.
Oh, so you'd be better to answer. But isn't it like he's looking for who the father is? It's like it's related to some kid's father, right?
Yeah, well, basically he's tracking some drug... I've seen Kindergarten Cop, by the way, 150 times.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Right. Nothing wrong with that.
He is looking for... there's this drug dealer in the beginning whose name is Crisp. By the way, and he gets arrested, and he needs to find the mother as a potential witness.
Oh.
But he doesn't know because they changed their name. So he goes to kindergarten to find out who the he knows that the
hence
kids
the who is your daddy and what does he do?
Precise.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So
that's like a reason you need to be embedded in this school with these students,
right? And,
sort of.
And there was actually a another cop that was supposed to do it. His
yes.
partner that got sick.
The lady cop,
yeah.
Well, that makes more sense too.
That's a little Deus Ex Coldia. But it's fine.
But so that's fine. But this movie, it makes no sense. Just go in, say, listen, we're the FBI.
Yep.
We need to find this flash drive. Let's get looking.
There's also another callback from the first movie, and this is a weird subplot. Is this little girl's getting abused.
Oh, right.
Because in the first movie...
Great subplot.
This little kid, this little boy is getting abused, and like actually they show bruises,
yeah,
and which is a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
again, who is this for?
And then Arnold beats the shit out of him, which is whatever, you know what I mean?
Which is great. Like,
yeah.
I was waiting for that, because that was one of the parts of the first movie I remembered.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, come on, he's going to beat up that alcoholic dad that's hitting this kid.
But there's this weird line where Bill Bellamy's like, he's like, hey, Bill Bellamy, Tanya's really upset. Why don't you look into her dad for me? And Bill Bellamy's like, yeah, well, I checked his credit cards and surveillance and blah, blah, blah. And like, he's been drinking during the day. I'm like, dude, this is a civil liberties nightmare, Bill Bellamy.
This is a Patriot Act, I guess. He could go through all of his charges.
Well, you want to talk about weird subplots. Bill Bellamy's kind of a hacker in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's got bios on all these little kids.
Yeah, he knows everybody. And he keeps being like, hey, how do you know this? He's like, don't worry, man. And I'm like, oh, yikes.
No reason.
But to your point, now, I mean, it plays out like this. Like, yeah, she's like either like she's really sullen and sad, and like he's like, oh, I think something's going on. The dad grabs her really hard at one scene.
It's like a, you know, get in the car, we gotta go kind of a deal.
But apparently, like, he lost his ad sales job from the Seattle Times or whatever the flying fuck.
He's just like unemployed and he can't find work, so he's like drinking and abusing his family or
and
whatever.
And it's insane because the Dolph Lundgren's just like, yeah, I'll ask around, help you get a new job.
That solves that problem.
It's so the opposite of beating the shit out of that
and
dude.
And he's like, oh, you do that for me?
What I love is the next time we see this dad, which is at the very end of the movie when, like, you know, the dust has settled.
He's got a top hat, scepter.
He's wearing a business suit. Like, he's back in the game already.
And he doesn't say anything at all, but you just have to understand business suit equal employee.
Exactly.
I got you an ad sales job. The only trick is you're undercover, all right? You got a fake name. It's actually supposed to be me. It's supposed to be my next case, but it's got a good paycheck.
But how does he not clock this guy and everyone cheer? That's the whole thing,
well,
right?
He dances around it so much. If you're not going to beat the shit out of him, like, fine, I understand that. You're not just going to, like, beat a man on the front lawn of this school, but be, like, get in his face, get all Dolph Lundgren on him, and be like, you fucking touch this girl again. I'm going to knock your goddamn teeth down your throat so far they're going to shoot out your asshole like a BB gun.
Ooh, that's also a David Cronenberg movie. But honestly, they can't do that because this ain't your mama's Kindergarten Cop.
Uh-huh.
This is PC culture Kindergarten Cop.
But if he's the character that's against PC culture, he should be the dude threatening to knock teeth out assholes.
No, well, he can't undermine the message of the movie that sharing is caring and being nice to people and golden rules.
Oh, that's true.
Instead of golden showers. Oh, wait, no, it's got both.
Can we talk about the fat weirdo in this movie?
Oh, yeah, that guy's a creep.
This guy, Hal.
Yeah.
Man, this guy looks like a melting Paul Giamatti. He's like a Best Buy Geek Squad technician that sort of works at the school for some reason.
Well, he teaches computers, and that's a question mark.
Well, yeah, also, but like, shouldn't
it's
he
a question mark because why should he be around kids, or should he be around kids?
Also, shouldn't he be leading Technology Day? Yeah. And also, shouldn't be this should be our suspect number one, right? This guy knows a flash drive.
This guy should turn out to be like wrapped up in Zugo,
yeah,
or whatever.
Sure. This guy needs to have computer monitors thrown at him by Dolph Lundgren.
Instead, what we have is this dude is like his first interaction with Dolph is like he gets his phone number and yeah. He's like, I'll text you later. I work in this school with all these miserable women. Finally, there's a dude here that I can bro out with or whatever.
Which doesn't make sense because he's replacing a man, but whatever. That's the end. That's fine. Also, a great blunder is this woman says, nice to meet you, twice to him. His love interest, like in two scenes, is like, nice to meet you, nice to meet you. Sorry.
But then, like, the second scene is he realizes when Dolph, like, makes a date with this dude.
Well, that's from the other covers.
Yeah, so. All right. That's when Dolph is getting in too deep. He makes the date with the lady, and then this guy Hal's like, just so you know, I still want to be best friends with you and all, but I called dibs on her. And you're just like, oh, man. First of all, that's shitty. Second, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell against Dolph Lundgren, buddy.
Nobody does.
No.
That's the problem.
So this love plot kind of meanders along.
They have a great first date.
They do have a great first date. He's grilling steaks and turning records, man.
What a life. What a and life. This lady clean wants, water.
This lady wants to ball his brains out.
Oh, without question.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And he's just like, let's go square dancing for no reason.
Because when you don't want to have sexual intercourse, it's best to ice that shit down with some sweaty square dancing.
It's just weird seeing Dolph Lundgren try to be like
a person.
Not only a person, but a person that's into like country western music.
Yeah,
right. Well,
they're
if
like
you
really
recall,
jiving out at this fucking.
It's a real honky tonk, man.
This band, dude.
Oh yeah. Oh,
dude.
It's a real fart hammer band. This. By the way, the fart rock throughout this movie.
Oh. Woof.
But no, the line which it gets them into the square dancing because she is like. Ready to go with yeah. Dolph Lundgren. Uh-huh. I mean, we all are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then she's like, you know, you're in such good shape or something like that. And I cut to Wikipedia. He's 58 years old. She's no more than like 26. It's yep. disgusting. And he's like, oh, yeah, I am in shape. Do you want to see how I stay in shape? And I was like, Cut to fucking. That is how I stay in shape. I am constantly fucking.
This is a kindergarten movie.
I know, but it doesn't want to be all the time. That's the problem.
No, kindergarten doesn't want to be kindergarten often.
Well, and this other, you know, this actress's character, she's like, you know, sometimes I like being a kindergarten teacher, but sometimes I like drinking a bunch of wine, eating steaks, and fucking.
Yep.
And, you know, you can't be a kindergarten teacher all the time. But then his line is like, do you want to know how I stay in shape? And I was like, here we go. Cut to honky tonk dancing. Thanks. Thanks a lot, three name director in your stupid movie nobody asked for.
Hal tries to scam him. He's like, oh, he brought a taser into the school. And I guess Hal had a taser. Is that the idea?
Because clearly this dude is one of those dudes where you get back to his basement and there's like swords and guns and weird posters all over the place.
He's like, oh, Dolph Lundgren brought a taser to school. I can't bring a taser to school, Mark. And like, and the principal's about to expel him. And he's like, no.
Fire him, actually.
Yeah, you do get fired. And he's like, no, it was Hal. And she's like, oh, okay, I believe you. And then somehow in this scene, Hal gets his nuts zapped.
Well, it's great on several levels.
It is amazing.
Dolph actually has an awesome line right here because she's like, do you know what this is? Because like people in these lines of work, like when you just deal with kids all the time, you also talk to adults like kids.
Sure.
That's a thing I can't stand.
Yikes. Yeah.
And she's like, so do you know what this is? And he's like, yeah. And he gives like the exact model of this taser.
Sure.
And, you know, then it's like, yeah, I found it in his drawer or whatever. And he's like, that's not mine. I clearly don't need a taser to defend myself. And I'm like, oh, fuck, yeah, that's dude. Awesome. Take that, Hal, you fat piece of shit. And then the woman is just like, okay, I believe you. Here, Hal, take your taser out of here. And I guess, like, she squeezes the trigger while giving it back to this dude because he just starts getting zapped in the dick.
Yeah, man, those spikes burrow into them nuts.
Oh, man, it's horrible.
Yeah. And it goes on for a while.
And on and on and on. And she's trying to do like a, oh, I don't know how to turn this off. And she like the ups the amperage or whatever.
Dude, best scene in the movie.
You know what it needs, though? If we're having like shitty CGI gun flares, I need shitty CGI taser smoke.
Oh,
I want these chestnuts roasting on an open fire,
I want to just keep going, man, until like this dude's like puking blood somehow.
I mean, you
he bursts into flames.
I mean, the amount of time.
His cargo shorts go up.
The amount of time that this guy's balls are zapped, he would puke blood. Like, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. And then Dolph could be like, where's that flash drive?
Hey, now that you almost. Well, this does have my only legitimate laugh of the movie. Because it's a really lowbrow laugh. I'm not going
to
laugh.
You know, it happens to the best of us, Steve. Don't feel bad.
So it's after, right?
Wait, you weren't laughing hysterically during the nut zap?
I was smirking and ready to laugh. So like my facade was wavering here a little
bit. Hey, Steve, what'd you think of my act tonight? I was smirking and ready to laugh. Thanks, buddy.
But, I am the comedian that goes on stage and zaps my own testicles.
Zap my testicles, Mark.
I got tape of that too.
But no. And after that, the principal smells and he goes, "Did you shit your pants?" And that was like, I didn't see it coming, and I was hooting and hollering.
That I mean, it is,
and it's a good
great.
Delivery too.
Yeah, but you know, I smirked.
He does. You know what's kind of great though?
You were ready to laugh.
This Hal, he's got a little moment of physical comedy here because he does the like. He holds up like his thumb and his forefinger like just a little bit, but then he makes the gap between the thumb and forefinger bigger. I was like, yeah, that's more shit than you were willing to let on.
So we're getting close to the end here. Zugo has got a Mickey Mouse mafia. He's got two He's got two henchmen. They approach Dolph Lundgren early in the movie, and they're like, give us the flash drive, Dolph Lundgren, I'm going to shoot you in this public place. And Dolph Lundgren, as an FBI agent just being threatened, he beats them up and leaves them on the side of the road. I'm like, dude, you got to arrest.
Make
sweat
that arrest.
These guys.
Yep, exactly. Like, there's a food truck right there that you just got coffee from. Guaranteed there's a security camera on it. They got the whole thing on tape.
And, like, where is Bill Bellamy? Where's other people? Where's anyone?
Where is anyone? Yes, a great question that we've asked before on this
the
show.
The finger thing means the money, Eric.
But I want to quickly mention one scene before it gets away from us here. Yep. There's a scene where Dolph Lundgren is auctioned as a suitor.
Out and of nowhere. Where are we doing this?
Where are we getting this from? This is fucking word. This is basically word for word from Groundhog Day. You notice that?
Yeah.
They like he gets up there. Everyone's bidding on him. He's like the most eligible man in town.
Right. There's even a dude that's doing it, which I think is also in Groundhog Day. Is it not? Is there a dude who's bidding on him?
I think it's old ladies instead.
Yeah.
We weren't ready for a dude to bid on a man yet.
Yeah, that's true. Too early for homosexuality didn't exist. In case you were wondering, until 1999.
Oh, that's when they got the patent on that.
Yeah, they figured out how to make homosexuality in the year 1999.
But you know, down to like. What's her name? Olivia, the other kindergarten teacher. It does this like, well, I'm going to outbid everyone with this outrageously high number.
Just like Andy McDowell does. Oh, you're right.
The only thing it's missing, and I wonder if it's on the cutting room floor, I say we go looking.
The ghost of Harold Ramis?
Well, maybe. But, you know, in the Chris Elliott role,
right.
You get Fat Hal up there getting no bids,
right? Oh, yeah.
Right.
The quick
loser joke.
Instead, Hal is standing, like, in the back, like, because he also bids because he wants to, like, hang out with him, doesn't he?
I don't think Hal's
not in that scene.
No, it's just the
bidding.
One-off gay character that comes out of nowhere and is like, goodbye, movie. It's like, what?
He's got some weird line, too, where he's like, you know, and he's doing like this, like he's screaming the whole time and he's like, I've got $800 and a sensible method to lose weight is like the line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is the joke?
I was actually surprised and applauding that, like, Dolph Lundgren doesn't throw up. You know what I mean?
Because Dolph Lundgren's fine with it.
That's his character. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. He's like, oh, this fucking liberal piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't jump off stage and punch this man.
Well, it's weird, though, because in that same scene, and it's another thing that he doesn't react to that way, is the principal's like, okay, everybody can start bidding. Women, men, intergender, whoever, get up there. And I was like, oh, he's going to fucking spit on that person. But he's just like, he's like having fun with it. And he's like, he doesn't have a problem with anything. And I'm like, well, this is out of character for this gruff cop.
This scene comes out of nowhere. It's not even, it's an unexplained, it's a deleted scene that's in the movie.
Because there's no like, I'll see you tonight at the auction, yeah, or the any big of that.
Charity event.
It just happens and it goes. And I don't even know if we see that date.
You know what you need to do? You need to make a casino night. It's always easy to do it. Oh, here comes casino night. Oh, yeah,
we're raising money with casino night. He's got to get like a tux on.
Sure. Well,
no, Fat Hal's wearing a tuxedo t-shirt. That's how you get him in that scene.
Well, you just want Fat Hal in all those scenes.
I do.
They can't promote gambling with these students.
That's true.
And, yeah. You know,
but
also,
we can promote like auctioning off dates. The kids aren't there.
This
it doesn't
is a
matter.
Premium hunk of man meat. You got to make exceptions. But yeah, I don't know. The movie is not very good.
So at the end of the movie, what happened? Bill Bellamy like cracks something.
Well, they come in like Bill Bellamy basically blows the cover because he comes in. It's weird because Dolph's class and Dolph's class alone goes on a field trip with Fat Hal.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that. And I was like, well, that's like that Andrew McCarthy TV show no one's watching but Steve.
The Family on ABC.
But that makes no sense. But it's like, let's get that class out. And then Dolph's like, oh, the mafia. Oh, that's what it is. Bill Bellamy is outside doing surveillance in a van. And the mafia knocks on the door like, excuse me, FBI? And he opens the door like, yeah, what do you want? And they steal his van. And Bill Bellamy has to take an Uber to the school. There's an Uber joke in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought the thing was like Bill Bellamy is going to get kidnapped by this cutthroat mafia.
Yeah, that would have been something.
And that would also make sense.
Sure, it would make sense.
Why would you let this guy go?
No. Like when they cut to Bill Bellamy making the phone call in the car, I was like, oh, the mafia kidnapped him. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm in an Uber. I'm on my way to you. Be there in a few minutes. Also, I was mugged and they stole the FBI surveillance van.
Oh, wait, should I have called the office and got other people to come? Oh, wait.
Well, it's like this is the second time in this movie that the Seattle division of the Federal Bureau of Investigation has been duped by these mafioso.
Man, this is what happens when you get Agent Dale Cooper trapped in Bob for all these years.
That's actually very true. I mean, right? The place has gone to shit. Look at it. Just look at it.
Pacific Northwest used to be a great FBI outfit.
Totally. Ran like clockwork it did. Let's get to the end of this.
So basically they figure out there's been this guinea pig the whole time. Oh, it's in the guinea. Oh, no, it's not the guinea pig. That's right.
The guinea pig. So the dead teacher. Man, and here's the thing. Mm. This movie is way more complicated. Well, it's stupid. It's way more complicated than it has any business being. There's a guinea pig in the class. The dead teacher taught the students a poem about the guinea pig. It turns out that that poem is also an acrostic that spells out time capsule, saying that this flash drive is in a time capsule that this class is going to bury in a sculpture garden on their field trip with weird Fat Hal that they just went on.
That's happening right now!
Exactly right. So that was Eric's impression of Bill Bellamy in this movie. Bill Bellamy's parlor scene. Like, him and Dolph Lundgren, like, figure this out on a chalkboard.
It takes a while, too.
It's like the Enigma machine.
SS. Oh, 8-8. Heil Hitler.
So, Lundgren, at this point, the Zugo comes to the school. He raids the school.
The Zugo?
The Zugo. The Zugos.
That would be his wrestling name.
I am the Zugo.
The Zugo.
He's like, we're going on a field trip. And he's like, he tells his henchmen to kill Bill Bellamy. Bill Bellamy gets saved by the principal with a baseball bat, which is a reference to the first movie,
right,
where the other partner hits the mother with a baseball bat.
What doesn't happen in that first movie, though, is then this principal in this new movie starts going to town on this dude's nuts.
Wow, so there's two instances of ball trauma.
Yep. You were right. You're absolutely right.
I had the victim wrong, but I had the balls right.
Yeah, two ball traumas, just two different dudes, neither of whom are Dolph Lundgren is the problem.
And those
you know
selfies.
What? I'll count it.
Oh, you got to count it.
Yeah. What was the other prediction?
Mine was the word selfie would be used, but that didn't happen.
Oh, damn it.
I really thought it was...
It was close. I bet it's on the cutting room floor.
Guys, I have some bad news. Turns out, due to the running time, we have to cut the selfie scene.
No! But that's Gallagher's big scene. We can't...
Hello? They what? Oh, son of a bitch. This watermelon represents my heart. And this sledgehammer is the goddamn son of a bitch editor of Kindergarten Cop 2.
Slam.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too, Dolph. Thanks. Thanks for letting me know.
I do appreciate you calling me. You didn't have to.
I'm sorry, I did everything I could, Gallagher.
I fought them.
I fought for that scene.
Day in and day out, I fought for that.
Gallagher, just remember, you are brilliant. You are my favorite comedian of all time.
And don't let anyone tell you that you blow chunks, even though you you kind of blow chunks in your act. They're watermelon chunks.
It's a hilarious gag. It's
pineapple.
I really appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Have you ever considered a pineapple?
Thank you, Dolph. I'm choking up here a little bit. I
did try a pineapple once. Too many people got hurt, though.
No one's appreciated me since 1989.
I gotta go, Dolph. I got family over. Yeah, that's right. There's family here.
You know, I was just like you once. I know what that feels like. Not being appreciated since 1989. I know what that's like. I feel you, brother.
This watermelon is my self-esteem.
Yeah. I'll put it in Gerdwood to you with Sly for Expendables 4.
Oh, man. And Gallagher?
Dude, if he played...
That would be amazing.
Like, here's what you do. You write Expendables 4. It's going to be fucking terrible anyway. You cast Gallagher as the villain. And you just go, hey, Gallagher.
Yeah.
We're not going to put paint on you. We're not going to refer to you as such. But listen, Gallagher. Essentially, you are just the Joker.
Yeah.
And then you just get Gallagher to play the Joker in Expendables 4. And then, fuck yeah.
And then he uses a sledgehammer on Stone Cold Steve Austin's head.
Yeah.
And that's the... Like, how has Gallagher never crushed a man's skull on screen?
That
is the question.
You make, like, oh, he could have been, like, the villain in Spy Hard. Like, you want to parody, like, Bond movies and stuff?
Yeah.
He's, you know, Sledgeo, the villain. Leslie Nielsen's, like... Trying to, like, save his partners.
Joe.
That was unfortunately, that was for Spy Hard 2, and there never was one. And on the cutting
room floor. Because Spy Hard 1 was the worst thing ever, so they decided not to make another one.
And Dolph Lundgren called him again. I'm sorry, Gallagher. They cut Spy Hard 2.
He really, Dolph Lundgren was going to replace Leslie Nielsen? His grandson?
We can't get this project off the ground. I don't know what's going to happen, Gallagher. Our Twins movie was canceled.
We were trying to redo, what was that Leslie Nielsen Dracula movie?
Dracula Dead and Loving It? Yeah,
that's right, Gallagher. And, you know what? I'm going to pull some strings, make you my Renfield. He'd be a good Renfield.
Sure. That would work. So we're at this sculpture garden.
Good in quotes.
Yeah.
There's a big fight. I mean, like, whatever
happens. Dolph Lundgren kind of choke slams this dude in a river.
Well, the Trojan horse gag, here's my question, because it's actually important. When they get to the sculpture garden, it's like, all right, kids, you better get out of here, you know. Make like Odysseus and leave, or something like that, right?
Oh, is that what he does? Because I was trying to figure out for the life of me how these kids knew to enact this plan.
And he basically puts these kids in danger.
Yeah, it's like, hey kids,
fight the mafia for me.
This is insane. They just attack him with branches and shit.
Yes.
At least 5 dead kids, right?
Yeah,
now.
Sure, without question.
This guy's got a gun drawn, and you're telling me he can't shoot a kid?
This guy's supposed to be hardcore Albanian mafia, man.
Yeah, I've seen they sell kids into sexual slavery.
I saw those Taken movies, Mark. I can do what Liam Neeson does. Gonna tie in a chair and splat watermelons all over you. Why wouldn't you hit me with the hammer? No, 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 you'll see.
You don't know what the watermelon represents yet. You know, once you see that, now we're going to talk about something.
My bits are all analogies. You'll see.
Well, it might be more effective torture.
You're
sitting,
not wrong.
Sitting through Gallagher, yeah.
Well, hey, here's the question. Do I have a plastic coat or do I not have a plastic coat? What's my plastic coat situation?
Well, because he really wants to mess with you, so you don't have a plastic coat.
Wow,
he specifically takes it off of you.
Dude, that's, I mean, these boneheads in Washington, you know, they wanted to get answers out of these fellas in Abu Ghraib.
Oh, yeah.
Send Gallagher over there, do some fucking material. They'll be singing like jaybirds. Now, this represents, we'll tell you everything.
Good job with the watermelons. You got a real flair for it.
Gallagher and James Gandolfini in the CIA cafeteria.
Absolutely. Oh, man. Gallagher in the CIA cafeteria. Check, please.
Zero dark melons.
So whatever, he foils the mafia with the help of these kids.
That he puts directly in danger.
It's actually kind of weird that dude, my favorite character, Fat Hal, takes down one of the henchmen and starts like brutally beating this dude's face to like hamburger.
Yeah, yeah.
He's screaming. I mean, he looks like Paul Giamatti playing the Rhino, and this is him like screaming like Paul Giamatti as the Rhino.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just
yeah.
beating this dude's fucking noodle, man.
His skull gone.
And he's just like, oh, that was so fucking fun. And you're just like, okay, Al, you shouldn't go back to teaching kids.
If they do Kindergarten Cop 3 and continue this plot line, Dolph right. Lundgren should hunt down Hal.
Oh, I like that idea.
Oh, yeah. Hal turns out to be a turncoat.
Yeah, and it's like also like being involved with Dolph Lundgren awakened his bloodlust.
Oh, so right, got the, like, right.
You made me.
Oh, yeah, dude, and that's a real Batman and Joker situation mm-hmm. if I ever heard one.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie also ends like really rapidly with like, you know, like he goes back to the classroom for no reason.
Yep.
Like, you're a fake teacher. There's no reason for you to go clean out a desk that's not yours. And he's like packing up a box.
Like, I'm going to give you back all your flash drives.
Yeah, I stole a gross worth of flash drives. And the teacher, you know, this Olivia character or whatever her name is, she's like, you know, oh, I was mad at you because you didn't tell me you were in the FBI, but let's make out. And then the principal comes in and she's like, that's strike three. You're fired. And all the kids go, yay. And that's Kindergarten Cop 2. That's how we're ending it.
Yeah.
Does Arnold get a lady in that movie?
Penelope Ann Miller.
Oh, right. Right.
I don't know how. I believe it ends with almost the same thing where he goes back to the school. I think just to visit or something.
But that's at least like, hi, remember me? This is like he's literally cleaning out a desk for no reason. And we get, like, you know, it's the same, like, childhood font. You know what's weird? We didn't mention it. There's, like, a pig in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a school pig. No, there's an actual pig.
Oh, okay.
Like, a swine, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, it's weird because in the beginning, they just say, oh, give her the therapy pig. Like, you know, it's all PC Liptard BS.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a stuffed pig.
Or, like, one of those adorable little teacup pigs, because who on earth wouldn't want one of those?
But this thing is something, like, Bricktop would serve you to.
Wow. Nice snatch reference, dude.
Yeah, snatch that one up.
I mean, yeah, I could live off this thing for a year. Yeah. It's a massive pig.
You live off of it?
Yeah, because you kill it and eat it.
Oh. Oh, all right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I have a year. Maybe a month.
Yeah, I'm just
maybe
drinking pig milk, you know.
Maybe a month. Drinking pig.
Just milking this pig, dude. Subsisting off of nothing but pig milk.
I think that's
some
what
some people do it, man.
Oh, right. Pig milk. That's what McDonald's serves around St. Patrick's Day.
Get some pig milk, freeze it, and put green food coloring in it. Happy fucking St. Patrick's Day from McDonald's. Wow, I can't believe you so rapidly cracked the formula for the Shamrock Shake.
Yep, that's what it is. It's just pig milk, dude.
Frozen pig milk, granulated sugar, and red green food
coloring.
It's
also what they use to make the McRib. They put that in like a little like tray.
Dude, gelatinous form. Everybody knows that McRibs are just pieces of old sneakers with barbecue sauce on them.
I've seen the McDonald's guys getting them out of the power lines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just bring them. They, you know, when people throw the sneakers
yeah,
tied
that's,
together.
That's what they do, yeah.
Yeah.
They go to urban areas and grab the sneakers.
Yeah, and then they grind them up
you
and
slice
cook them
up.
Down. Yeah.
There's very little meat in these gym mats.
Fuck this movie.
Totally. My thing was, so the pig is credited in the movie, as is this guinea pig.
Oh, right.
Or whatever. The point I wanted to make about the guinea pig was where I thought this movie was going. This flash drive was somehow inside the guinea pig, and they were going to have to cut it open and get it out.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it didn't happen, though.
Nah, that's a shame.
Yeah. Would anybody recommend this movie?
It's, you know, like... Yes, it's a light recommend for me.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It moves, I feel. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have the worst time watching it for some reason. Maybe it's because I'm a big kindergarten cop head, and I like to watch the story continue.
You've been waiting for this day for 16 years?
Yeah, I guess so. No, I don't know. It's not a good movie. It's kind of...
Or 26 years, yeah. Excuse me.
I think it's a fun, bad movie-ish.
I honestly, I'd say no.
Sure.
That's, you know what? You're well within your rights.
I'll die on this hill alone. That's fine.
I think the first movie's worth checking out.
Oh, I love
it. I haven't seen it 150 times, but I've seen it a good amount. And since Y2K. so that'll do it.
Yeah, on that dig at me. I would recommend this movie, okay. Actually. I feel, one, it's streaming on Netflix, so hey, get on it.
Sure.
But I think this is like, you know, it just came out like last week. This is like the latest entry into a hangover film situation.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like inoffensive. It's not complicated. It's terrible. It does move. The movie is like an hour and 40 minutes. It somehow moves, though.
It does. It feels light for some reason.
And I kind of will just always watch Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Like, when I opened the Netflix interface and I was like scrolling through trying to find this, which Netflix has just buried this thing, shockingly. There was immediately, though, another Dolph Lundgren movie that was called, like, Shark Lake or some shit.
Yeah,
and I was like, save that for later. I'm going to be taking a trip to Shark Lake sometime soon.
What's a shark doing in a lake? Isn't that freshwater?
I don't know.
I'll find out. Possibly tonight. That's Kindergarten Cop 2 from the year of our Lord 2016, directed by Don Michael Paul. Paul Michael Don, Michael Paul Don, whatever you want to call this guy.
Hi, Don Michael Paul.
If you want to get a hold of us and find out more information about We Hate Movies, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast, of course.
Rust Belt friends and
yes.
People in the Rochester area, please.
Do people like being called Rust Belt? I don't know. Tell us at the show.
Yeah, yell at me. Throw watermelons at us. Go to the little .org for tickets, right?
Yes.
July...
The 16th. It turns out
Saturday
it's a
night.
Saturday
Ooh,
night.
Oh, it's a Saturday night.
Fuck yeah. Man,
dude, talking about some mutated turtles traveling through time on a Saturday night.
God.
Oh, yeah.
After dark.
9 p.m., July the 16th, thelittle.org. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. Tell your friends about it. We would greatly appreciate it. Next week, what are we doing on the old program?
Ooh, a little movie called The X-Men's...
The Last Stand.
That's right.
X-Men the Third, The Last Stand. That is right. We have our good buddy Sean Weiner in studio to talk about the Brett Ratner-directed X-Men The Last Stand, which, by the way, gang, kicking off the 2016
what?
Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza.
Oh, yeah. Starting a little early this year, just an FYI.
Just a little earlier this year. That's okay. It is okay.
Oh, no, Wait,
did we clear this?
Well, it's after your Memorial Day barbecue, so I think we're in the clear.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Right. That's right. Well, you can start wearing white because you don't have to worry about the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Hashtag SBE 2016 kicks off next week with X-Men The Last Stand. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Gallagher.
Hashtag We Want Worf.